Welcome, everyone. It's Kyle Wilson, and really excited about tonight's Inner Circle call. Tonight, we have Keith Elias. And Keith, after playing football for 4 years at Princeton University, left with 21 school and four NCAA records. He went on to play 6 years in the NFL with the Giants and Colts, and then became an international speaker, I think for about 10 years. Keith now works for the NFL in player engagement, mentoring players through transitioning into and out of the game, as well as coaching them through their purpose off the field. He is a mentor, speaker, team builder, and leader who inspires, empowers, and encourages others in their purpose by helping them create and attain their vision for their lives and or companies. He truly believes when you become you, you are unstoppable. And, you know, Keith really is prolific. I met him about a year ago, and we worked together. Keith has authored books. He's written screenplays, has many hidden talents. He's also part of the upcoming Purpose, Passion, and Profit book. Tremendous speaker, mentor to many. And, you know, the main thing is he's just an awesome human being, an awesome person. So, Keith, welcome to the call tonight.
Thanks. After that, I feel like I should be done. That was it. I hope everybody enjoyed that introduction, and I'll see you later.
Well, hey, it's from the heart. You're the man, and I think everyone that was part of the Dallas Inner Circle last month, you know, they got to experience you and experience your authenticity and your true passion and purpose of what you're all about. And, you know, one of the challenges we might have tonight is just so many different topics we could talk about. But if you don't mind, just kind of let us in on your schedule the past month or two, you know, what you've been up to and some of the things you're headed to. I know, like, the day we met with you, you had met with several of the top NFL draft prospects because it was during the draft. So kind of let us know what you've been up to.
Yeah, my job definitely keeps me on my toes because it's varied, because I do deal with guys coming into the league and then that whole population of guys transitioning out and or have already been out. And so, I mean, just even thinking from February on, I do the Pro Bowl because I connect with the current players that are at the Pro Bowl and really help the veteran players to create a vision for their life beyond the game, help them put a plan together for that. Then we do the Super Bowl. And then after the Super Bowl, we go right into our off-season meetings. And so I have an annual meeting with the directors of player engagement from all 32 clubs. We do that. And then we have a similar meeting with all of the what we call legends directors or the alumni directors for each club. And then we get on to the NFL schedule pretty quickly. So after that, it's the combine where you start to meet some of the prospects for the first time. And then there's a lot of former players that come to check that out as well. And then we go on to the draft, and that's where we were, you know, at the Inner Circle. And that's unique because they bring in about the 20 or 30 so top players, and I get to spend a couple of days with those guys to try to get to know them a little bit and try to walk them through that process before they get to the clubs. And then after the draft, then all in the spring, the NFL, we start our rookie onboarding, if you will. It's the easiest way to say it. So there are mandatory rookie modules, mandatory rookie programs, things is from a practical standpoint, from rule changes from college to the pros that they need to know the different rules, things about finances, things about security, things about life. You know, I always say if you can manage the we used to call it the five F's. We changed one of them to R, but it was if you can manage the five F's going in, it will help you manage, you know, help you on your whole career. So, and that's the, I would say that the quiz, does anybody know what the five F's would be for a rookie coming into the NFL? What are the five most important things that he would have to manage going from college to the NFL?
Well, you named one of them, finances, right? So,
right. Finances is huge, right?
So, you go from so give it to us in the order that you give it to them. What are the five?
Well, I mean, we talk about first of all your friends, how you can navigate your friends and guys who've been with you, guys that are there guys that are true brothers or guys that are we call them frenemies, right? Guys that are just hanging on. Your family, right? Your finances, right? And then football itself is different. No matter what level you've played in college, you play 10 or 12 games. And now you're talking about 20 games if you don't even make the playoffs. So there's what we call a rookie wall, and you have to navigate that. And the last one, like I said, we changed it to R, but it used to be, we used to say females, right? But now it's relationships. So it's really, how do you navigate your instant popularity? You know, and that's something that, you know, there's more opportunity for guys. There's more temptation for guys. I mean, coming into the NFL is almost like giving a guy the keys to the Ferrari and then saying, hey, but you only need to drive 55, right? And so it has its challenges. And so my schedule, so what I'm doing now in the midst right now in the next couple of weeks is I will visit eight clubs to do their rookie stuff, and then the other people on my team will visit clubs. And then I also am in charge of all 32 clubs for the veteran piece, and I do that throughout the whole year.
Wow. And I know you as a person, and that you really do want to impact people. And here you have this huge opportunity, not just to impact the new rookies, but also work with all the, you know, players that have left the NFL and actually mentor the mentors. So what a great opportunity to have a job, but also really make a difference in people's lives.
Yeah, it really is a blessing to be able to help awaken, you know, somebody's heart, quicken the spirit, really help somebody figure out that they are more, no matter how great it is to be a football player. You know, I always tell even the best players, right? So, I remember having a conversation with a guy that's walking into the Hall of Fame, leaving the game with $100 million in the bank, and I told him that, you know, he wasn't born to just be a football player, because if it's true, then you'd be able to do it till you're 70. And that, and don't let this, you know, former glory surpass the latter glory, because there are things that you're created that can be just as impactful down the line in your whole life. So that's kind of how we kind of approach guys.
That's such a good line. Don't let the former glory surpass the future glory.
Right. Yep.
I'm writing that down. So I'm sorry for being a little bit delayed there. So, you know, one thing, when I heard you speak in Orlando at the transition event, right, Bridges of Success, which was amazing, and I was so impressed with you and your stage presence and the relationships and the commitment and the mentors at the event. I was also impressed with the NFL. I mean, they really poured a lot of money and effort and thought into that event. It was so well done, and, you know, it was not just for the retired players, but it was for their significant others as well. But, you know, one thing you talked about is the majority of players leave the game for two reasons, and it's not their choice, either one. One is their cut, or the other is injuries. And so here you have 80,000 people screaming, and it's this unbelievable dynamic, and you're with a group of 40 other players, and you're trying to accomplish something incredible. And then all of a sudden, oftentimes abruptly, you know, you just, someone's better than you, or you have an injury, you now leave that, and you never get to experience that again. And so it's quite the wall that they hit. And I think everyone on this call can relate to times in our life, right, that we've hit walls, or we had things not go our way, and we have to battle with this thing called significance, and, you know, the different people in our life that maybe when we were popular, they were there, and when we're not, they're not. So can you talk a little bit about that and how that's a key focus of, at least it was when I was in Orlando, of the message you were talking about?
You mean the focus on significance?
Yes, right.
Yeah, so it is such a thing that we all deal with, is where we find our significance. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're 8 or 80. If you find your significance in the wrong place, you will struggle. And whether, like, you know, you find significance in a relationship and that defines you, what happens when that relationship is over? And so with our guys, I think if you remember, Kyle, I said we are the second sport in terms of athletic identity. We are the second highest sport in terms of, like, our guys defining themselves from the game that they play. And so if my identity is I'm a football player, then who am I when I'm done? And our transition is it's gone. It's not like being an actor where you could have a dry spell and come back. When you're done as an athlete, it's over. And so a lot of times our guys do experience depression. We've kind of isolated the top 10 transition challenges for NFL players, and they really are the top 10 challenges of transition in general, right? From anger and isolation, depression, financial stress, all of those different things. And so that's why we created the Bridge to Success, was to be able to help guys take a step back. And number one, we try to do three things while we're there. And again, these are universal things. Is number one is celebrate the past. Celebrate what you did have, but also celebrate that time in your life is over. Try to glean from it one of the things that you should have learned from it, and celebrate the new opportunity of tomorrow. And then the second thing we try to do is help guys assess their present. And that's where we do a lot of work with identity. And that, again, is universal. Is when that relationship is destroyed, when that job you thought you would have for 60 years is gone, there are challenges with that, but it still shouldn't affect the core of who I am, right? My identity should not be in what I do. And then the third thing we do is equip guys for the future and just try to repurpose their skill set and let them know that they're still free to dream, right? They're still free to hope, and that we can kind of show them that the skills that made them successful in the game of football will also help them be successful in the game of life. So that's powerful. I hope that answered your question.
No, that's phenomenal. And part of me wants to dive into the 10 challenges, but I know that would take far more than the time we have. Maybe we'll circle back to that. One thing we talk a lot about in business and marketing is this 18-month window. It's usually, I don't know why, but I usually tell people it's about 18 months to really go through a cycle and see success. Have you found there's any patterns from someone leaving the game and or maybe from the first time they hook up with you guys that they start really seeing some change and some breakthroughs?
Yeah, absolutely. Unless somebody is an incredible individual, like this player I was telling you earlier, who's walking into the Hall of Fame and is leaving with a couple $100 million in the bank, he actually called me to say, hey, what should I expect on this transition? He's the one and only player that's ever done that. But for the most part, when players leave the game, we try to give them a full year before we even call them. And we do that because it's like we say the transition from the NFL, frankly, is like leaving Oz and going back to Kansas. Right? Like when you're in Oz, man, everything's bright, everything's amazing. You've got a team, and you're going to this mission. You got this one goal, and then all of a sudden you're back to Kansas where it's black and white and there's tornadoes, right? So people want to get back to the promised land. Guys want to get back into Oz. And so that first year, they're not hearing anything other than, how can I get back in? I know a guy, they're talking to their agent, they're doing everything they can to get back in. And that's also why the NFL doesn't even give them their severance until a year out. It's 1 year after your contract has expired that automatically triggers your severance. And then when that gets triggered, then that automatically triggers myself, my transition coaches, the men that we know and our coordinators and stuff, to give a guy a call. And when we call them, it's very specific language. It's, hey, how are you holding up? Because we want to acknowledge that this transition has been something significant in their life. It's not, hey, how are you feeling? Well, how do you think I'm feeling, right? It's, hey, man, how are you holding up? What's your day-to-day look like? Because a lot of guys are just going to say, it's all good. You have that friend that you know something's wrong, but it's all good. And so we try to wrap some words around it, like, hey, what does your day-to-day look like? And that gets beyond the feelings and gets a little bit more into the nitty-gritty. But through that, then, we can help guys put together a plan and, show them that they're created for something greater than football.
Wow, that's so powerful. So what happens, and I'm thinking of someone in my life who is a very private person, a bit of a loner, tends to, kind of see the glass half full, and they're going through a transition right now. And they don't really want to talk. They'll tolerate it. And again, it's a pretty close relationship. So it's not one of those, you know, I think third party, you can kind of say whatever you want sometimes, right? There's not a lot to lose.
Yeah.
But when they're really close relationships, and you talked about the book Critical Conversations at the Inner Circle, but do you have any advice for that? Because I suspect many of us on this call, because it's a group of ambitious people. It's a group of very positive people to be on a Thursday night call, right, during the NBA semi. So, you know, we're not the norm necessarily. So I'm sure we all have those kind of relationships. But what kind of advice do you have?
That's probably the most difficult situation. What you're talking about is the most difficult situation I have faced. So just walking you through something specific that happened to me, I have a player who said publicly how football has ruined his life and he's isolated himself. And I've reached out several times and, you know, hasn't responded. And so I just try to make myself available to him now. That's somebody I didn't know real, but you're talking about somebody very, very close to you. I think one of the most important things is just to let that person know that you are available for when they are ready. And you can't push, but you can pull. And what I mean by that is that while you can't, where they say you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, but you can't keep pushing yourself onto the person, but you can keep letting them know you're available. And in fact, you can, one of the things that we do with guys every now and then is we have like a formal document, right? Like a plan. And every once in a while, I'll send it to a guy and just say, hey man, check this out. Let me know if you want to ever go through it. And it's just a quick little, you know, career transition or plan ahead document. It kind of walks them through, you know, working on a network or doing that. It's just something that entices them to come out of the shell. And that's what we do. We kind of throw little lifelines, little, like, you know, we kind of fish. And we have a, you know, software system that will be set up so that I'll know when to contact somebody. And you can set it up so it's not over the top, because if too many people are, you know, jumping in on a guy, that's not good either. So I guess to answer your question, I would say, number one, make sure they know you're available, and then figure out the balance between, like, so you're not pushing them, but that you are enticing them to come out of the shell, and whether that's with something practical or something that's nothing at all other than, you know, sometimes it's, hey, man, I'm going to watch the basketball game tonight. You want to go grab a beer and go watch it? It really is relationship first with folks like that, and then when they're ready, they'll tend to spill it when you least expect it.
That's great advice. I know in your world, there's a lot more that are invited than actually come, right? There's a lot of ex-players. I mean, you do your events, you open up the invitation, and, you know, a percentage of those accept it. And so, again, you go back to some of the guys who are more private, more loners. Have you seen some of those have breakthroughs where it's like they finally kind of came out of the shell and they, it's like, okay, I really need to be part of a community?
Absolutely. There's been times where it's been the third year where a guy's like, I'm finally going to make it. And I think we had to build trust and then word of mouth. So as other people hear about what we're doing, they tell guys like, you have to be crazy not to go, you know. But you know what else is amazing? And this is baffling to me, but it is amazing the mileage you can get out of a giveaway. I mean, the fact that when we make a deal last year, J.J. Watt has a dress shirt company that he works with, and you know, our people approached him to provide a dress shirt for everybody that went, right? It's amazing how many guys, when you ask them, hey, what was it? What was the deciding factor? Well, I knew I was going to get a free shirt. it's amazing. But then, like, you know, the spouse, and they say, man, if I would have known it was going to be this powerful, you know, this kind of life transformation, I would have brought my three buddies. I would have told this guy.
Right.
And so they become the best advocates.
Love that. So, yeah, you have multiple levels and layers of what you do, because you work with teams, you work with individuals, but then you also are the mentor to the different mentors. I know when I was there, there was Chad Pennington and Leonard Wheeler and quite a few other ex-players who now mentor groups of guys, and you're the mentor of those guys. And so what's that experience been like?
That's the favorite, my favorite thing about my job. I would never say that I'm their mentor. I would say that we're cut from the same tribe. And I learn from them as much as I'm, you know, I'm just the one that happens to be, you know, setting the direction and the vision. But every month when we get on our calls, I'm blown away and amazed by what these men are doing, not just in our space, but in their communities. You know, I mean, every day you look up and they're doing something that is going viral, but at the same time, they're not the ones that are promoting it. You know, they're just doing their thing. And I was just in Cleveland this week, and oh my gosh, I'm just blanking on his name. The first pick of the draft, the quarterback. What was?
From Oklahoma.
Sam Darnold.
No, Sam was the third pick, right? The first pick is on. Oh my.
Yeah,
gosh.
Brett Mayfield.
Yes. Yeah, Mayfield, Baker Mayfield, yeah. Right? I was with him on Tuesday, and I got a chance to talk with him a little bit. And, you know, we were at the combine, and that's when Chad met him. And Chad Pennington has been just behind closed doors, walking him through the process, kind of getting in his ear, telling him what he needs to do, telling him the things that he needs to look out for. And it's amazing because when I saw him at the combine, there were things that I was like, you know, there's going to be some growing pains. And when I saw him on Tuesday, I was blown away at the difference. And I know it's because he's been working with Chad. That's little nuggets here, those little nuggets there. Not trying to overstep it, but be aware of this. This is going to happen. Have an answer ready for this. This is a way to approach your teammate. Hey, there's a veteran quarterback ahead of you. This is how you say it in the media. This is how you say it in the back room. And that kind of like experience is just amazing. And you know what it does? And this is universal again. So one of the most amazing things that I get to see by going to 32 different clubs is I get to see 32 different cultures. And I promise you, when I walk into a team, I can guarantee you that I know who's going to be successful and who's not. And I mean, especially during the year when I do pro development, I walk into a club with a team that may be on the cusp of the playoffs. I leave knowing whether they're going to do it or not. And it's all about how a coach can set, hey, this is who we are, and this is how we're going to get there, and whether guys have bought in or not. Who sits where in the room during meetings? It's really interesting to see leadership and team building and culture. And then so when you see the influence that a Chad Pennington can have on a younger player, you say to yourself, man, really, leadership can be taught, culture can be taught, people can be transformed by truth, by authenticity, by knowledge, and by experience. And that's amazing.
Wow. And so I'm thinking, I could be wrong, Chad and Leonard, are those guys volunteers? Or are they employees of the league as well?
Yeah, no, so they're not they're not volunteers. You know, we always, or they're consultants. They usually have consultant contracts,
okay.
And they vary on what their roles are.
Okay, because I was just blown away by the care, and I mean, it was a huge experience for me to be there in Orlando. And for those who don't know, I was Keith's guest, and this was back last October, November, and It was all players and their significant others, and I got to experience that. And again, it was just huge to see how much the mentors cared and how much work went in to put on that event and how much thought. And it's not that I mean, it's fairly new, right? That I know the NFL's probably had a program for a long time, but the types of things you guys are doing, how long has that been going on?
And this was, you saw the third one. So, because I had only, when I got there, that was the number one reason I think that they brought me in was to create this thing. And we tried to do a couple of things right away. But in terms of our guys, our transition coaches, the thing about those guys, and they go through a year's worth of training, right? So, I mean, we end up with four certificates in life transitions, relationship management, We have two in mental health first aid and mental health facilitator, and we have the ASSIST protocol, which is applied suicide intervention skills training. That training goes on, you know, for about a year now and then, what we do is we find guys who are doing it already, right? So we find guys that are, when they're reaching into men's lives, they're mentoring people, you know, in their regular jobs, whatever they're doing, they're already doing this. And then those are the guys that we bring in to do it officially, you know. And how we really kind of picked the lock on the bridge was, I would say, one, through a lot of prayer and thinking about how this should work for our players. And I think what we found was a logical progression of the heart. And so on Friday night, we allow guys to download. We don't try to teach them anything. We don't try to tell them anything. Friday night, we just celebrate the past and get them in a place where they can download what they're going through. Then Saturday, we assess the present. And that's, like I said, has a lot to do with the identity piece. And then on Sunday, we equip them for the future. And we've been successful, and what's neat about it is we don't publicize it. It's just really behind closed doors, but the word spreads. And so 2 years ago, the NBA came to check it out, and so did the Navy SEALs. And then last year, when you were there, Kyle, the Major League Baseball was there, and so was motocross. Major League Baseball brought, I don't know, almost like 10 people over the 2 days, 3 to 4 days that we did.
Wow. Okay, that's amazing. So, hey, Keith, I want to open it up here in a few minutes for questions, but I want to ask you one more quick question, then we're going to open it up. So everyone be thinking if you have any questions for Keith. And also, the more the question can impact the rest of the people listening, that's even better if you have to pick from different questions. But so, Keith, in my mind, and you and I have not actually really talked about this before, I don't think, but to me this would be so applicable to business. And is that something you've thought about, trying to take this into companies and creating that same type of culture?
Yeah, I think there's two separate things, and they're both applicable. One is just the building of culture, the building of leadership, understanding how to build a team, because I've seen many different ways to do it. And, you know, there's the New York Giant way, there's the New England Patriot way. And at the Inner Circle, we talked a lot about Belichick's methods versus other coaches. But there's that definitely, how do you build a team? How do you build a culture? A culture where not only it's about winning, but people are cared and they're motivated by love. And, you know, they feel like what they do is significant to the cause of the company. And that the most high-performing team, the most high-performing groups I've ever seen is when every individual takes his job personally because he's contributing to the whole and he's valued, right? And that's what I see in certain places, and they buy into the one thing. Now, but the other piece, Kyle, is the transition piece. And we all, like we said, I mean, life is transition. It is one transition after another. And the more you can learn how to navigate that individually, your business, your team, your family, the more you can learn how to navigate that successfully, the more successful you'll be in life. So they're both aspects of that, the team building, the culture building, and the transition piece.
Wow, very powerful. So I want to open it up for Q&A. And typically we have a way for you to get into a queue, but on the way this call is set up tonight, we have a new service. I guess we'll just have to speak up. So I always leave plenty of space. So, you know, while people are thinking about if I'm going to ask a question, we'll leave, you know, 5 or 10 seconds and jump in and ask a question. I have plenty of more I'd like to ask Keith as well. But here's your opportunity. Ask a question for Keith.
I have a question. This is Deborah.
Hey, Deborah.
Hi. It was really great to hear you talk about your bird's eye view into all the different cultures that are created with these coaches. And I really love the fact that you talk about the culture that they've created and, you know, how they're teaching it through truth and authenticity. And, you know, in a sense, as a business owner, I'm creating a culture myself. And What do you see from your wonderful bird's eye view as being essential in creating that to enroll the people in the vision of the destination?
So in terms of like how do you communicate your vision?
Yeah, how is that communicated through the culture, and how is that communicated by the coach, and how is that, you know, how is that taken on individually by everybody to be on board with the same momentum in the same direction, you know?
So one of the coaches I didn't talk about at the Inner Circle is Sean McVay, what's his name, the Rams, right? He's young. He's really young. But what he's done is pretty miraculous. And so when I walk on to their, when they're in their facility, it is stunning to see from the janitor to the ticket person to marketing, how they've all taken their cue from him. And you walk into his meeting room and they have his slogan, right, up on the wall. And that's what they say. When you talk to any player, they will literally say, that's who we are. And that's his slogan. And that's what they, and that permeates. It's not only up on the wall, it'll find its way into every speech he gives. It will find its way, and not even just in a plain way. He lives it out and breathes it out in such a way that in their practice schedule, when they're stretching, he will go around and talk to guys about who they are. They have so bought into this identity that he has been able to turn that team around in a radically short time. Whereas one year it looked like his quarterback was going to be a bust, that next year he's in the Pro Bowl, right? And that really has to do with everybody going in the same direction. He has learned how to communicate it with clarity, but he also consistently. And so, like, in my family, with my wife and when we have a daughter, we have core values for our family that we prayed through, said, hey, this is who the Eliases are. These are our core values. And whenever we do things, I try to refer to our core values so that it constantly becomes the identity of who we are. Right. And so that's what they do. And so I would say, to answer your question, it is not just clarity of communicating the vision, but also consistent, and weave it into every single thing that you do so that it's a constant reinforcer, because like perfect practice makes perfect. And that's what you want to do. Just constantly speak about who you are and you'll live it out.
Thank you so much. Great advice. Thank you.
Yeah, truly great advice. How much do you think that was also representative of the general manager that hired Sean? You think, obviously, they were probably, there's some commonality there too.
Yeah, and you know, and I don't know, because I didn't meet him or didn't get to talk to him, but Sean, he's a live wire. That, I mean, I wanted to play for him, you know. It was like, I mean, in a couple minutes.
To hire a 31-year-old kid, though, right? That took some vision.
Right.
And
no,
you're
question.
Talking about the janitor and the marketing,
yep,
team. So, it's probably just, I don't know about the ownership, but it seems like whoever hired him took a lot of guts and vision.
It did. But at the same time, if you meet him, it's like, wow, this was a no-brainer. This was probably the easiest decision, because when you meet him, he's an overwhelming persona. You know,
did you pick up who his influences are? Who did he play for? Where did he come from?
No, I haven't. No, do you know?
No, I don't. I'm trying to think if he came from Washington. I don't think he came from New England. But yeah, it'd be interesting to know where he played, and you know, if that was a family thing or if he came through, you know, had a mentor in college.
Yeah, I mean, everything in the NFL, there's always a coaching tree. So you're right.
Right.
Like, I mean, I probably should know, but you know. Certainly, with 32 clubs, it's hard to follow everything. But
right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, again, open up to questions. If we don't have any, I have a next question for you. So who would like to ask Keith a question?
Hi, Keith. This is Ethel Rucker. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Hi. I have a question about when you talked about – hi, Kyle. How do you identify in business? How do you identify a frenemy, you mentioned, and as you move up the popularity ladder and success and things like that, and women and other things gravitate to you, how do you distinguish, especially if you have a big heart and you're trusting, a frenemy, and then those who just want to attach to you just because of your success and things like that. What is some of the advice that you give to those, to the men? Thank you.
Yeah, that's another great, it's a great question. So basically, frenemies are folks that are always taking, right? And there's little tricks that we tell our guys, you know, when you take your guys out to dinner, does anybody even reach for the wallet, or is there just going to assume that you're going to pay? But I would say universally, frenemies are always like looking out for themselves, but have a way of manipulating in such a way to make it seem like that by helping them, you're helping you. So what we tell our guys is, you know, who was that person that was with you before? And who's that person that you know that you can trust, and then rely on that person to help you navigate the new friends or the friends that are going to sink you. And one of the most important things we do for our guys, which again, we could talk about how you can kind of do it in a business setting, is for the rookies, we tell them, and this is easy, but this is about mentoring, is pick out the veteran in the locker room that you want your career to look like his, right? And then do what he does and have that conversation, because veterans can see this stuff coming a mile away. I mean, I know my last year on the Colts, I would see the rookie class and I could tell you who was going to make it and who wasn't, and who was smoking pot and who wasn't, and who this life was going to swallow up and who wasn't, just by basically how they carried themselves. And so, and you pick that kind of knowledge. And so for me, and even in business, I mean, find a mentor who's done it, right? A mentor is someone who's a credible individual who's done something that you want to do. He's been there or she's been there. Find that mentor, because people can normally see your life, my life, better than I can see my own life. And we all need to have those mentors, more than one or two of them. And I know for me, so like, it's interesting, one of our transition coaches that I got in, he would say he's my mentor, Ken Ruckers. Ken played for the Packers for 12 years. He's in their Hall of Fame. He's a sociology professor in Oregon, and he helps me navigate the corporate world. He helps me navigate my relationship with my wife. He's the most unbelievable blessing in my life. And so if I'm talking to him and I'm sharing about situations, he's able to say, you know, tell me more about that. Be careful of that. Hey, this relationship and that person, you may not want to tell it, you know. And so mentors are key to be able to share these things, and they can help us see frenemies from a mile away.
Great question, great answer. That's awesome. I think that's applicable to everyone on the call, right? So who else has a question for Keith?
I have a question. This is Erica.
Hey, Erica.
Hi. Hey, I'm sorry I missed most of this. Really sad, because I love this topic, so hopefully you'll have it available, Kyle. Mm-hmm. A recording? Yes?
yes.
Oh, good, good.
I'm tempted to tell you no, just to kind of just joke around with you, but yeah, we have to record it.
That would be mean. That would be mean. I have a question. So when you're coaching and working with people who naturally have magic, but they're relying on you to bring things to an even higher level, have you discovered certain approaches, maybe even a science behind it, but where you can influence something you blatantly see needs to change or move in a different direction, but you also need to balance it with not wanting to interfere with their magic? Have you found a certain phrase or way to approach that lets you steamroll but not interfere with that, the destiny of the existing magic?
Wow. This is an awesome question. And what I want to say is I don't know if there's any magic bullet, right? But I think that this thing, if we look closely, exists so much in sports. And right now it's public, so I will say it, because this is a public thing going on, so I'll kind of throw this one out there. But when you look at the Giants and you look at Odell Beckham Jr., here's a guy who may be the most talented player in the league in some ways, and there's no, it's public that he's had so many issues that have gone against sort of the giant way. And yet, right, when you talk about how to build a culture, when you bring new people in, and having a sit-down, opening clear lines of communication with very clear expectations, but then listening, also saying these are the places we're going to hold you accountable. What happens? They start OTAs and he's there, right? And so I would start there, that if you have someone who has the magic and you think that you can get it to another level because there's things in their life that are keeping them from, you know, that magic, well, then it starts with sitting down, clear lines of communication, that you saying what you see. This is what I see in you. Cast vision. Like, we always tell the players, like, what about your grandkids? What kind of legacy do you want to have? That kind of thing. Cast vision. Also say, these are the ways we're going to hold you accountable. But absolutely, and this is one of the things that when I spoke to some of the folks that were around that situation in the Giants, is to listen and to build the relationship, because players are not, people are not commodities, right? Like, they may be talented. Our players are partners. And when our employees are partners, they're not commodities, right? And so when we think of people as that, then we really want to honor the relationship. And I think when we do that, you can get the most magic out of them.
Wow, that was gold, Keith. Very powerful.
We'll see. It's nice because we're going to see how it works out this year with the Giants, right? Because,
right.
I mean, it's all public, all the things that happen, and then boom, and he's there. And he's there, and I just saw him on this week, and we'll see. And if he has this banner year and all things good, we can kind of say that, okay, then they picked the lock. And we can go back and say, the way the Giants handled this, this could be a formula for how we can handle that person we know with the magic.
Right. No, very, very powerful. More questions for Keith. We've got about 10 more minutes, so if you have a question, jump in.
Hey, Keith, this is Jim Gardner.
Hi, Jim.
How are you doing?
Doing well.
Can you talk a little bit about how you help people understand the why? When it comes to culture, when it comes to teams, there are, you know, like you mentioned, core values, policies, rules, whatever you want to call them, but explaining the why so that they can basically recalibrate their why and actually buy in a little bit better.
Yeah, I would say that you don't explain anybody's why to them, that helping somebody find the whys about asking questions. And those questions change per generation and per personality type. So as an example, when I was in high school, if my coach wanted to motivate me and our group, he would walk in the locker room and he would simply say, those cats on the other side think they're better than you. And you would be like, what? There's nobody better than us. And you'd froth at the mouth and you want to kill them because we were achievement-based. My generation's achievement-based. Our identity was wrapped in what we did. And the millennials are so, like, converse to that, so opposite to that. Like, so you can go into a locker room of a high school right now and say, like, man, don't you want to win? Like, or you could say, those guys think they're better than you. I don't care. Like, so I know some of those guys. They're my friends. Like, well, don't you want to win? And they're like, I don't know. And they'll say, well, coach, don't you want to win? Because if the coach wants to win and they have a relationship with the coach, then they want to win. They're so much more relationally connected. And so their why won't just be winning the championship. You know, especially folks have learned, the younger people, that they are a brand unto themselves. So we have players that come into the league that have more followers than the teams that draft them, right? They have more followers on social media. So for them, you know, winning isn't, it's legacy, it's personality. It's, you have to ask the question. You have to ask them, what is it about this that, and then the what question is better than why anyway, I would say, for the generation coming up, because why is like, why do you do this? I don't know, because that's a mental question. That's an intelligent question. That's I have to think when I hear why. But I say, what is it about this that lights you up, or what is it you're getting out of this? See, the what thing is a heart question. And words are really important. We've learned that with our folks. Our folks don't want to hear, hey, I'm here to help you. I don't need help. I'm here to support you. For what, right? But if I'm here to lock arms with you and navigate this thing with you together, oh, I'm all in. And so words are important. So I would say helping people find their why, number one, is you have to ask them the questions. And number two, the better question is what's your why? To me, is what's your what, at least for this generation coming up. Because what gets to the heart and why goes to the head, if that all makes sense.
Again, yeah, another gold nugget. It's awesome. Thank you, Jim.
Yes, sir.
Question for Keith.
Yeah, I have a question for Keith. This is Rod. We commented when you were in the Dallas Mastermind that you're obviously very, very passionate about what you do and seems to be a calling for you, but it dawned on me that, you know, you spend so many years of your life, trying to do one thing, right? Be a great football player, college player, pro player, but now you found your life after that, and it's such a passion for you. A lot of us on the call, myself included, who worked so many years to do one thing and then realized after doing that, hey, my passion is really something else, whether it's helping people or, you know, in different aspects of our life. Just talk a little bit about, the sense of accomplishment and how you felt when you were doing that, you're a football player, basically, and contrast that and compare that with, you know, the sense of satisfaction and how much you love what you're doing currently.
Well, that's another great question. I think football-wise, especially in college, and you hear this a lot, it's really about the man next to you, about the guy next to you, the guy you have the success or the team wins and you're so happy because of what it means to your guy next to you. Now in my role now, it's a little bit the same. It's helping the people who, you know, find their you, right? It's like they find their purpose, they find what makes them uniquely them. There's satisfaction in that. But, you know, I think deep down for myself that I love to awaken somebody's heart to the truth. Now, the best way that I would love to do that, as Kyle knows, is through writing stories. I always feel like if I could make a living writing stories that can, because speaking is wonderful, but I would want more reach, right? Like, you could write a story for every kid growing up to help them. It's amazing the legs like a story like Harry Potter has. And now, if you could do something like that, but then also embed some powerful truth that really helps people not just be entertained, but be transformed, man, like that lights me up. The very idea that you can use entertainment to bring in truth and to really help somebody from the inside out, that has eternal significance to me. So that personally, that's what I'm looking to do.
And so, Keith, have you always had that gift? Because you have written novels, you've written screenplays, phenomenal speaker, and you really are poignant, and you're able to deliver such great nuggets. Is that a gift you've always had? Of course, I know something you've crafted and become more skilled at, but is that something you've always been good at?
I don't think I would even call it a gift. I call it a desire. Like, I mean, for me, a gift, I've always been abnormally fast and strong for my size. That's a gift. I had nothing to do with it. I just honed it. But this is a desire that it's a craft that you have to work at constantly, because none of it for me has been natural. You know, so that's how I would say it. So it's when it does come out, the creation comes out, it's from every bit of me. It's from my toes, man. It's a wonderful death pain experience to get something like this out. And it's the most joyous thing that I do. I lose myself in it. But I don't know if I'd call it a gift. it's too hard. Gifts, right? Gifts are presents. They're just there. This is a desire. But yeah, does that make sense?
It does. And I think the ability to write a screenplay, that is a gift. But what you do with the NFL, that truly is your passion, and you really wanting to make a difference in people's lives and taking it to that next level. But, you know, to sit around and write a couple of screenplays, that does take a gift, I would think. But, yeah, I like that you made the distinction.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do it. And I would even say in 1998, I was going into my second year on the Giants, and my father was sick. He had cancer, and he said, and I told him that my ultimate calling was to be a writer, a speaker, a life, life transformer, even more than a player. And I still ended up playing 5 more years after that, but I knew it then.
Wow, very powerful. Okay, one final question for Keith before we wrap it up.
Hi, Kyle. It's Kathy Loffman.
Hi, Kathy.
Keith, I was sorry I wasn't able to be there in Dallas when you were there, but I'm so thankful that that you did this, Kyle. I wanted to circle back around to your, just for a moment, to the 5 F's and the 1 R. Anyway, have you changed that? But I was curious, because I like this idea of having, understanding, look, going in, if you get this right, it's like back to the basics and core skill sets and core life skills and life practices. I was wondering if across those 5, friends, family, finances, football, and relationships, when you look across those, is there one or two that stand out in terms of what seems to be the most difficult for them to really grasp and latch onto? And if that is the case, why you think that might be?
Great question. I would say we present them all, but I would argue that they're intermingled. I would argue that a lot of the issues that you have with your friends and family are financial, right? I would say that same thing with the relationship. And so I think they're intermingled, but I would say if you take the relationships with your friends, family, significant other, and finances, that's the place that we'll probably have the most discussions. And why is because normally when you have a 21, 22-year-old young man making the type of money that our players can make, it usually means that they've come from some money, dad, grandpa, that kind of thing, or mom and grandma. And so there's an education that they have but you're talking about in our population, for the most part, guys that didn't come from responsible wealth or wealth at all. And so, again, I go back to the analogy of handing someone the keys to the Ferrari on the Autobahn and say, okay, now be responsible. I've got 800 horse under me, and I'm on the Autobahn where I can do whatever I want. And then you're telling me to have the self-control to only drive 55. And the whole world is telling me, no, go as fast as you can, right? The people in the seat next to me are like, man, drive the wheels off this thing. So I would say that's it, like the finances and the relationship piece, how to navigate that as a young man, navigating popularity in a social media frenzy, the amount of temptation, the amount of opportunities the guys get can be overwhelming.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. So, Keith, one thing, again, you have such a full plate. One thing I'm really proud of you that you are now actively starting to build a list and talk to your list and come up with, dynamic stuff that you're sharing. And I know a couple of weeks ago you shared some of the, some of the key ideas that you've gotten to share with some of the rookies and, some pretty impressive names. We won't go into them on the call here. But if anyone on this call wants to get on your list and you could send them some of those key ideas that you shared with Carson Wentz and Ezekiel Elliott and several of those guys, and also just get future mailings from you, what's the best way for them to contact you?
Just email me, and it's just my name. It's KeithElias@Verizon.net. So it's KeithElias@Verizon.net.
And if people were interested in having you come speak, or they wanted to recommend you to companies, same way, right? They would just send you an email?
Yep, that would be it.
Okay. Well, my friend, this was amazing. And I know for a fact I'm going to go back and listen to it again and take more notes and, you know, just really digest the nuggets. And I'd love to have you do this again down the road, because I think each nugget you shared is a whole other conversation. So, again, thanks so much for being with us. And, everyone, if you could unmute yourself, and we'll give Keith a big thank you for being with us tonight.
Thanks, Keith.
Thank you.
Thank you. Kyle, thank you. This is humbling, and I'm really appreciative of the opportunity and the time. So thank you, Kyle.
Awesome call, Keith. Phenomenal. Thanks, my friend. We'll talk soon.
You got it. Bye-bye.